This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode 81. So today, I am joined by Angie Alesko. We met, Angie is now a friend of mine. We've known each other for some time now, and we met through mutual friends. So, you know, and I am inspired, and I was amazed when I first heard Angie's story of grit and energy and commitment. I think I work hard, but then when you hear quite how hard Angie works and just brushes it off, I'm really inspired to actually do a few more hours work today. So Angie is a proud Filipino, and you know, I think Angie's energy symbolizes the energy of this country. And you know, there's quite a lot of hardship in this country, and I'm just inspired and in awe of her efforts. So I hope that I have done her story justice by my presenting it and my question asking. I suppose that's interview skills, if I could speak better. So I hope you enjoy this. I certainly am inspired by her story, and I hope that that comes through and you enjoy it also. So if you want to get in touch with Angie, if you want any of the show notes, then please do. You will find those at outsourceaccelerator.com/81. Enjoy. Today we're joined by Angie Alesko. Hi, Angie.
Hello.
I want to have a chat to Angie and just share Angie's story, because when I first met Angie and heard your story, and you know, I have nothing but admiration, and I was super inspired by what I think is your endless energy and motivation. You know, I don't know how you do it, and it's something that, you know, as you tell the story, I think it's something that few of us in the West could really relate to, certainly on a personal level. So just set the scene for me, Angie. You were a sole income earner of your family?
Yes, I was a sole income earner for a family of probably six. My mom and dad, my three kids who are all in uni, and my niece sometimes. So I was a sole provider for everyone.
And is that, just to give a bit of context, is that normal? Is that, you know, that Philippines is quite community-based, yeah?
Yes, we're what we call is a close-knit family. Mm-hmm. So even at the age of 45, I would still stay with my parents, with my kids, even if I had them. I stay with them. I also have that it's part obligation and love for my family to still stay there and support everybody.
So the family unit is super strong, and there's huge amount of benefits to that, yeah? And you were then staying within your parents' home,
yes,
with your three children,
yes,
which is fantastic. But then you found yourself in a position of being the sole income earner for that entire unit, yeah?
Well, one, my dad was already retired at that time. He's no longer working there, getting government pensions, but that wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. It was about 2,000 pesos in a month. So that's not enough just to keep for their medications. And I had three kids going to uni that I have to support, costing me probably 120 in a month, twice in 2 years.
Right,
twice in a year, I'm sorry. And so that's how it was. And then, of course, allowances, food at the house, so it's okay. I was seeing the family still being at home. So,
and how do you feel? Was this sort of life as normal, or was this a, like a financial crisis? Were you freaking out, or is this just life?
I wouldn't say freaking out, but I was taking, I swore to myself that I would do everything to have my kids put to school. So no one would be stopping, even if my parents were saying, one should stop, or two should stop, so that one can finish ahead of them.
Right.
You won't be working yourself too hard, but I wouldn't like to do that. I wouldn't want to break the drive of the kids.
Mm.
If they stop for 1 year or just a couple of months, you'd lose the drive to study. So
you had this huge, of course, the love of your children is it's an international thing, isn't it? But you were facing putting these three children through university and then also supporting your parents. Amazing. So what did you do for that then? You had a full-time job. Most people have full-time jobs. What were you doing during the day?
Yes, I was. I had two jobs at that time. I used to work with a tax agency in the Philippines, which we called as Bureau of Internal Revenue. So I worked from 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. And on my travel, that's where I would be taking a nap and get to my next job. I'm actually a nurse, so believe it or not, I started from 10 in the evening till 6 in the morning. I would have friends call me as the girl who doesn't rest, which we call as babaeng walang pahinga. So that's what they call me before, but I didn't mind. It's not, I don't mind.
So you were working a 9-hour job with the BIR, which is the government body for Inland Revenue, and then you were commuting to your next job, and then working
as a nurse
as a sort of another 8-9 hour night shift. Yeah, wow. And then so when did you start work in your first job? At what time in the morning?
8 in the morning.
And then what time did you finish your nursing job?
About 5. A nursing job?
Yeah.
6 in the morning.
Wow. So you literally slept on your commutes back to the office and then back to the hospital.
Yes, that's how I lived for a couple of years of my life.
So you were doing, and how long exactly were you doing this?
Probably with a nurse and a tax agency work for about 3 years.
Right.
That I started to feel the toil in my body doing two works in a day.
You were doing this 5 days a week, each job?
No, 7 days a week, you could say, with the nurse job. With the tax agency work, sometimes 6 days, because I still do overtime for them, too.
How are you feeling? What levels of exhaustion were you dealing with?
Well, I don't know. You could probably say I cannot feel that exhaustion. I have to work. It's that I have no choice. If I don't work, the kids won't get to school, my family won't have any food to eat, so I have to do it.
Could you think clearly? Were you
yeah, I could think clearly. Amazing. But then it was hard because I cannot have any mistakes with life. So that's a turning point in my life, that I really cannot make any mistakes. That's different.
Amazing. Okay, and I've cleared this with you before, and so can you give us a little bit of insight into what you were earning? What were you earning at the government position?
I was earning 12,000 pesos at that time.
And that a month is around about $250 to $300 a month.
Yeah, I believe so.
And then, so what were you earning in the nursing job?
I was earning about $7,500 in a month.
7,500, yeah?
Yeah, 7,500.
Which is, that's about 160, 170. So you were working about 16 to 20 hours a day for 3 years, and you were earning around about 400 US per month.
Yes.
Amazing, huh? I just have sort of absolute admiration for you. And then, so the next stage, so you did that for 3 years, which I just found which I find absolutely incredible. And then you moved on. You got a new job. What was the new job?
I tried the BPO, or the call center, because a lot of my friends were saying, you're doing two jobs in a day when you can earn what you're earning in a day in a call center. So I did that one.
So you were working these two jobs, 20 hours a day, and you were earning around about 20,000 pesos per month, which is about the 450 US dollars. So what were you, went and got a job in a BPO, and what were you doing? What was the role?
I started from customer service and then shifted to being a fraud analyst.
Okay.
And
and what were you earning there?
I was earning around 25,000 in a month.
So you were earning for one full-time job within outsourcing. You had jumped from 20,000 for two jobs to 25,000 per month for the one job. Yeah.
Yes.
Incredible. And so, were you amazed by that? That outsourcing was suddenly this jump up for doing.
Yeah, it was in a lot of ways a better opportunity for me. One, I've earned an additional $5,000. Two, I've always worried about my kids getting sick and me getting sick. So the kids had a medical insurance as well as me. Because sometime back in 1998, I had to be rushed to the hospital. I didn't have the money to get my gallbladder removed. So I had to put that on hold.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it. I cannot get sick. Mm-hmm. I need a health card for my kids and myself. So when that happens, at least I've got that backed up. And that was a relief that the outsourcing, offshoring have done to my life. So
not only you had a bump in increases, but your original two jobs, they didn't offer you any health insurance.
No, they don't. Right. You can. We had the field health or the Medicare, but it's not, it's a very basic Medicare. You still would need to shell out at least 80% of the cost.
This is amazing. So you would have normally got your gallbladder out if you could afford it. What did you do instead? You just took antibiotics?
No. I was recommended to have it taken out, but I had to put it in hold. So I've been doing not antibiotics, like herbal.
Right.
Not really herbal. Just said there were studies of drinking apple juice every day.
That must make you worry, yeah? Because you're the sole income earner, you know, yeah. You need to be out of work and you can't be sick. Huh?
No, I
Wow, so you go to the BPO, you then have health insurance, you're then earning about 25,000 pesos, which is about 500 US per month for working full time.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't just stop there. What did you do?
I still work 16, 20 hours in a day. We had this shift, like what we call as 4x12. So I should be working 11 hours, but I would work 16 hours for an additional 5 hours overtime.
Okay, so you were working in a place where they had the teams work 12-hour shifts 4 days a week,
mm-hmm.
which is the 48 hours effectively. Yeah. But you weren't just leaving it there. You would do an extra five hours a shift.
Extra 5 hours, and then the remaining 3 days would still be overtime.
So you were working 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
16 hours a day?
Yeah.
Incredible. And how long were you doing that for?
Probably 3-4 years of my life. Yeah.
Wow. And where did you sleep there? Was that the commute or did you
Well, I still get to sleep that time, more this time. Either at the sleeping quarters that the office have.
Because again, BPOs, they provide better facilities, so you can sleep on site if you need to.
Yeah, I can sleep there if I wanted to, or sleep at home. But most of the time, that would just be 2-3 hours probably, and then prepare again.
Wow. How often in that, so that was about 6-7 year journey, yeah? How often in those 6-7 years would you get an 8-hour undisturbed sleep?
I can't remember. Oh, yeah, probably I had 15 days in a year because we are required to have a vacation leave, holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
And that vacation leave cannot be canceled. I cannot work on overtime, so I had no choice but to do. Yeah, I'm forced to rest, so.
I'm surprised you didn't go and get another part-time job for those 15 days.
I actually did sometimes. It depends because I am still on call at that time to take care of critical care patients. So whenever I would tell my supervisors that I won't be taking overtime today because I'm on vacation leave, they won't let me. And they would be applauding me, good, it's now you rest, because then I'm always there.
Wow. Incredible. And then, so you were a critical care nurse, and then you went into this BPO, mm-hmm. and you went into effectively a new skill set, a new area, but then you built up seniority in that as well. You're a pretty effective person. Yeah. What role were you doing?
Again, with what role in the...
With your outsourcing, yeah, you were doing...
I was with a fraud analyst. I'm used to be, like I said, I was in a customer service. Being a fraud analyst would be a promotion or a higher category or work.
Mm.
So we would be engaged in making sure that clients who use credit cards would not be getting charges that they didn't get, they didn't make, something like that, and make sure that their card would be working when they needed it.
Amazing. And so your story, you know, I'm amazed by it, but is it common? Is it unusual? Is it, you know, and you work a lot of hours. I can't imagine most people do that, but is it a... Do you come across this a bit?
Yeah, actually, I still have some friends, you would say, like the overtimers, that I still see when I look at Facebook that they would do overtime.
Right.
I think a girl, 2-3 friends of mine, have about 4 kids of their own, and they're doing overtime with me at the same time. They were on the 8-to-5 shift, and then from 7 to 12, they do overtime.
Wow.
We're a lot. There's a lot of people like us. It's, well, I guess it's the main thing there is we're mothers.
Mm.
We're a daughter.
Mm.
That's it. So
incredible, huh?
That's what drove us.
And so just to give people an insight, when you were this fraud specialist, the fraud analyst specialist, and worked up to a senior position, you were working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. How much would you... So your base pay was 25K, but what were you earning with all of that work then?
I think I was went up to 50 to 60 in a month.
Right, which is about sort of 1,200 US kind of thing. Yeah. And how is that? I mean, that's kind of big bucks then, yeah? I mean, it's big bucks, but you're working a lot of the day.
Actually, still not enough.
Right.
Sad to say. Well, I had 3 kids in uni, so it was really not enough.
And how were you feeling then? Were you under pressure? Were you just doing your
it's
work?
No, it's not... Because back when I was still working with a tax agency, I have loans left and right. A loan for this one, a loan for this one. I would renew this educational loan this year, then the other loaning government agency next year. So
right.
They would be... interchanging each other,
right,
to help me.
So now, juggling a lot of loans just to...
Yeah, but like with this one now, when I work with a call center, it's just one agency that helps if I needed a big bulk to pay the tuition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that tedious, it's not that so hard. Because when I was working with a tax agency, believe it or not, the money that I take home at that time was around $2,000-$5,000 in every mid month. So it's not enough.
Right. So sorry, about $5,000.
$4,000 to $5,000 in mid month, or let's say $10,000 in a month. That's what's left with me.
Okay.
Unlike with the call center,
so it's about $200 US.
Yeah. So when I was in a call center business, at least I have like.
I have
more money to spend. I wouldn't have to worry. At least a major part, let's say 70% of my expenses has been taken care of. I have 30% to allot for the allowance, but I still need to.
Yeah, which despite working your 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, you then started to have a bit of a safety net and a comfort blanket. Yeah. And then tell me the result of all this, your children, do they think you're the best mum in the world?
I believe so.
Are they aware of what you go through for them?
Do.
Are they aware of your undying love and commitment to them?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I would often, before when the kids would need something in school, they would say, "Mom, when you have an extra, can you buy me this?" So it's they know when they have to juggle with their funds. So it was hard at times. So we would have times before that. Every Sunday we would go to church and have a barbecue.
Yeah, they must have really cherished their time with you, huh?
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Just one final question then, Angie. You're a highly skilled person, so you were working for the BIR, which is the government kind of taxation department, and you were a nurse working in critical care, and then you're also a fraud analyst in your BPO days. Why didn't you go and get a job on... There's now a lot of outsourcing contract work on these things like Upwork and Freelancer.
I never heard of it, really.
Right.
if not for a few friends saying, telling me, there's this thing, there's a friend of ours doing this thing now. Oh, really? How does he do it? Well, he needs to have a high-speed internet. Okay.
Right.
Check that out.
So it is amazing. I mean, it's taking the Philippines by storm, but even, you know, outsourcing is big, but it only employs 1 million, which is a big number, but compared to 100 million in the country, it's getting there. True. So the awareness isn't great, but then also there's a bit of a hurdle in terms of access to internet.
Yeah. That's true.
Interesting. Thank you, Angie.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Angie Alesko. I'm sure you'll agree that that lady has a lot of energy and, you know, just amazing how she kind of brushes off the amount of work over 7 years that she's done. And, you know, she has successfully raised three kids, which is amazing, put them through university and also cared for her parents, which is and supported her parents, which is, you know, incredible. So it's not an uncommon story in the Philippines. So I'm just absolutely in awe of the energy here. If you want to get in touch with Angie, then please do. You will find her contact details at outsourceaccelerator.com/81. And if you want to ask us anything, then please just drop us an email. That is at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com.